Hello, everyone. My name is Ramel Reed, and welcome to Read Up On It, my very first podcast episode. I am super excited to start this adventure with you all three of you. But hopefully, you know, the audience grows episode by episode. Wishful thinking. We'll see what happens. But first, let me just stop and say that if you have not yet gotten a copy of my book, I released the book on September 6th. If you have not yet gotten a copy, you're making some fucked up poor life decisions, and I don't want that for you. So go on Amazon.com right now, type in the name I Hate the Public and Other Reasons Why I Quit My Hospitality Job, or just type in my name, Ramel Reed, click on it, order a copy. It's a super funny, easy, lighthearted read. I think it's less than 200 pages. I've had friends that told me they read the book in a day or less. And now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if you could probably read it in a day. Maybe they're lying to me. Maybe they skimmed it. Maybe they didn't read it at all and they just told me they did. Either way, they bought a copy, so I'm grateful. But it's a super easy, relatable book for anyone who most of my friends have worked in hospitality. I'm sure there's something in there that you can relate to, but if you haven't, you have a little bit of common sense and you can see what's going on around you when you go to a restaurant, you're observant of stuff like that. There's something in the book for you that'll make you laugh. I'm positive, I'm certain of. And there's funny, quirky, eccentric stories, super personal to me that I've thrown in there. I used to, you know, host on Airbnb. I used to rent my studio apartment out in California. Weird, funny shit happened in that place. Luckily, I have a sense of humor about everything, so I didn't have to choke anyone's child. But yeah, get a copy of the book. Let me know what you think. I hope you enjoy it. But back to, you know, the business at hand. This very first podcast episode, as I was saying, I'm really excited to start this journey with you all. You know, I want this to be a funny, easy, lighthearted podcast. Think of it as just like an extension of my book. And for anyone who knows me, you know, I'm always hee hee ha ha. I like to keep things light. You know, life is hard. So I like to laugh a lot and have lighthearted moments. Hopefully they involve Pinot Grigio, because you know, who doesn't need a little bit of libations just to liven the moment? But yeah, that's what I want this podcast to be. It's a reflection of me, and hopefully I bring some type of good energy to you all. You know, this podcast is going to be about a lot of pop culture. I'll be honest, I'm a pop culture connoisseur. I love it. I always have, from the days I was a young closeted gay child. But everything from music to fashion, film, you know, ghetto shit, non-ghetto shit. I am from the hood, so I have to, you know, throw that in there. Brooklyn. I want it to be about things like that, and I'll give my opinion on things. And it won't be anything super offensive, hopefully not. But, you know, I'm the type of guy that I don't care about anything, I really don't, but yet I somehow have an opinion on every single thing. But it usually makes you laugh at the end. So we'll see. Maybe I'm not funny at all and I should just stop this podcast episode here. But, you know, you gotta give things a go. You gotta give it a try. It's something I've wanted to do for years. So as I said, I'm super excited that I'm getting going with this podcast episode. And hopefully, as the podcast builds on and it turns from a newborn baby to maybe a little toddler, I can start incorporating some guest interviews. There's a ton of people I have my little dream list that I would love to interview and just pick their brain and find out about their life and their journey a little bit more. I do love those one-on-one interactive kind of experiences. So hopefully once this, you know, platform builds and they see that it's not going to be a complete waste of their time, they'll respond to my DMs and, you know, let's plan some shit out, people. You know who you are, Veronica Webb, Dorinda Medley, but I'm not going to call anyone else out. That's pretty much my whole podcast spiel, what it's about. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into things. Starting with, I just watched it last night, Rihanna's Savage X Fenty show on Amazon Prime. My family is from the Caribbean, so I'm just naturally going to support anyone trying to do something positive, something entrepreneurial. Who hails from the Caribbean islands. She's from Barbados, and I think she's a gorgeous woman. You know, I'm gay. I'm 1,000% gay. I've never slept with a woman, but something about Rihanna, she just gets the blood flowing, you know? I'm not saying it flows below my waistline, but, you know, in the upper body, she gets my blood swirling here and there. So she had her first documented show. It's on Amazon Prime. I thought the show was good. You know, she revealed 15 major looks from her new line. And, you know, I think it appeals to the mass market, but it's sexy lingerie. And it wasn't just models walking up and down a runway. They were moving, they were dancing, had performances. So I think in lingerie, you know, most people aren't stiff as a cardboard. You know, they're shaking that ass, they're twerking, you know, titties popping. So you got to be able to move. So I think to that point, she did a great job showing that the lingerie has room to have life and movement in it. The show, however, was a little overwhelming. At points, there was like, I don't know if I needed this. But, you know, it's her vision, so she can do as she damn well please. But, you know, I just, there were some performances I didn't need. You know, I thought that Slick Woods looked dead in the face and a little confused, maybe a little high, you know. I didn't know if she knew what she was doing or where she should go, but I felt like she was just a part I didn't need in the show. Also, I like him as a rapper, but there was that whole incident with Fab, you know, allegedly abusing his wife, so I thought it was a poor choice to have him incorporated in the show. That's just my opinion on it. Other than that, I thought it was a good show. It was entertaining. Normani performed. She's, you know, a hot topic these days. I don't know if she's the next Beyonce, but she's definitely a super talented, beautiful young lady. She moves well. She looked great in the lingerie, and I'm rooting for her. So congratulations to Rihanna on that. And she also hosted her Diamond Ball, which is for her foundation. And they honored Sean King. Sean King's a wonderful activist. He has a huge platform on social media, on Instagram. Check him out. I think everyone should be following Sean King. He gives a voice to those people that don't have a voice. And I believe in everything he's doing. So he was honored there. There were some pregnancy rumors that arise from some PR photos from the event. You know, Rihanna looked like maybe she had a little too much mac and cheese. Or maybe it was just a little baby, you know, a little bun in the oven. I don't know. She's been uploading some pics covering her stomach. I don't know. I thought she was pregnant at first. But then there's some pictures where either it's some really fucking good Photoshop or she's not pregnant and she maybe was just bloated. I don't know. Perhaps she was on a period or something. I don't know. Either way, if she does have a baby, I hope it's by that gorgeous, gorgeous Middle Eastern rich man. I think he's a heir to one of those car companies. I think Toyota, Hyundai, or something like that. I don't know. But either way, Rihanna is making some big boss moves. And I just think it's a good lesson for everyone. Even though the market, the lingerie market, the makeup and beauty market was so heavily already crowded, I think it's great that Rihanna said, fuck that. I'm a bad bitch. I have this vision. And even though it's already a crowded market, they're about to make some room for me. And she not only made room for herself, she fucking made room with a bang. You know, she really made people notice her brand. And I think it's great what she's done. So I'm 1000% supporting Rihanna and her, you know, her journey. Not that she needs my support. She's, I think, one of the richest women in music now. I think they quote her at $600 million. With the success of her brands. So shout out to Rihanna. Kenya Moore just filed for divorce. Kenya Moore from the Real Housewives of Atlanta. I'm a big Bravo fan. I'm a big Housewives fan. I don't watch all of them. Mainly New York. Atlanta. I used to watch Beverly Hills, but no more. But Kenya Moore, who married Mark Daly, a very handsome entrepreneur from Brooklyn. He owns the SoCo restaurant in Brooklyn, I think in Clinton Hill. I went to high school in Clinton Hill, Benjamin Banneker. Shout outs to class of 2008. I went to high school there, and so I know the restaurant. I'm familiar with the restaurant. I've been to the restaurant. My best friend used to live right around the corner from the restaurant. So I'm very aware of the restaurant. It is a successful restaurant. They have a big social media following. They wed in the summer of 2017. Now, Kenya did not film that wedding for the show. I think she really coveted and valued the privacy amongst her family and anyone involved in the wedding, and obviously her husband. They wed in 2017. They have a gorgeous daughter, Kenya's first child, Brooklyn Doris Daly. The baby is so adorable, and I think the name is cute. Mark's from Brooklyn, I'm from Brooklyn, so you know, I think the name is really cute. However, as I said, Kenya filed for divorce. I think Kenya is batshit crazy, so you know, I don't know. Men are complicated, but I think Kenya is just as fucking complicated. The girl is, you know, cuckoo as Cocoa Puffs. But reason cited, she can, quote unquote, no longer continue in the marriage. And she also stated that another reason was recent and ongoing circumstances. Now, allegedly, Mark had this whole other side bitch that he had kids with. So I don't know how true that is. You know, allegedly, he had a whole other family. I don't know, but Kenya is now going to be a single mom. You know, she, for years on the show, said she wanted kids. I was never a huge Kenya Moore fan, although I do think she's entertaining for the show. I'm just not a fan of hers. But I respect her. I think she's a gorgeous woman. But she's going to be a single mom, so it's appropriate that she just made her return back to the show, season 12. I think it debuts on November 3rd, early November. So that's a healthy check for her to, you know, get now that she's about to be a single mom. So good for Kenya. In other Real Housewives news, Cynthia Bailey's ex, Peter Thomas, and his damn bar one, in the famous words of Miss Phaedra Parks, bar none, they had to temporarily close the bar due to unpaid taxes, upwards of $200,000 in back taxes. Now, if you know the show, you know Peter could never keep this damn bar open. This is just an idea I think he needs to take in the back of the barn and shoot it, in the words of Mr. Wonderful. He just cannot keep this bar afloat. And how the hell you let all this time go by without you paying your taxes and it amounts to $250,000? I think that's absurd. I think Cynthia made the right decision when she divorced his ass. God bless. Maybe he should just open up a little catering business. I don't know, but this bar situation, this sports bar is not, it ain't working out for him, and I wish him the best with it, but that's a lot of money to pay off in back taxes. You know, people done went to jail and committed suicide over owing money to the government, so best of luck to him. Jesus Christ. Speaking of no good men, not saying he's a no good man, but on the show he wasn't represented in the best light, let's be honest. Robert Sylvester Kelly. Rapey R. Kelly. Allegedly rapey. I just caught up on the documentary, the docuseries, Surviving R. Kelly. Now, I didn't watch it when it was popular. I don't know what network it was on, but Netflix just released it, and I watched that over the weekend. And Jesus fucking Christ. Like, what the fuck? That is a maniac. I can't believe some of the stories that these women were speaking so bravely. Now, I'm not going to lie. Do I think some of these bitches were dumb? Yes, that's my opinion. But abuse is abuse, and I can understand how a powerful, manipulative, controlling man could take control of these women's minds and have them doing things they were never do for any other typical man. But you know, I guess when you're our fucking Kelly, you can control some of these women. But you know, I think he's gonna get everything that is coming to him. He has mistreated so many women and taken advantage of, especially the underage women. I don't even really want to speak on that because it makes me fucking cringe. But I hope he gets everything that's coming to him. And he's not looking well now, you know. He don't have access to his money. He's behind bars. You know, his hips are spreading. He's going to get everything that comes to him. And for taking advantage of not only women, but those underage girls, you know, I hope somebody make R. Kelly their bitch in jail once he gets his sentencing. I also watched the Harvey Weinstein docuseries on Hulu. I think it was just a documentary. He's a nasty fat pig. He looks like one, and he is one. He's another man in power that took control over a lot of women, forced a lot of women into doing things that they wouldn't necessarily do, using his power, his money, his influences, promising these women things that he knew he had no intention of delivering. He took advantage of a lot of women in the industry, promising them careers, and he could help them with their acting and this and that. What a slob. What a fat piece of shit. And I hope he get everything that is coming his way, too. You know, he deserves to rot not only in a jail cell, but in hell. You know, you can't take advantage of people and not expect something at some point to happen to you. You know, at some point, karma is going to come knocking on your door. I just don't understand people like that, that have no compassion. You know, they don't have any ounce of common fucking sense, and they just mistreat people. And you know, I can't even. So, you know, I'm not even going to say anything else on those two slobs. Can someone do a wellness check on Bill Cosby? Because I'm sure he's rotten in hell, but for some reason I just feel bad for him. He's so old and just in that jail cell. Do they have heat in jail, or do they just throw you like one of them poorly knitted blankets to wrap up with? I don't know, but, you know, moving on. Chelsea Handler, I had a heavy Netflix and Hulu weekend. She has her documentary, White Privilege, out, where she is shining light on her white privilege and how that directly affects people of color. It was an interesting documentary. Now, I like Chelsea Handler. I don't think she's the most intelligent person. No offense to her. I do like her, but I don't think she's college educated. Is she? I don't know. I should probably look that up. But I don't think she's an intelligent person. I think she found a lane that worked for her, and she was able to use her privilege to that advantage. I think she's witty and funny, but I don't think she's a book smart person. You know, I think she has more common sense than anything. But, you know, a lot of black people were upset with not only just white privilege in general, but about the title of one of her books, Uganda, Be Kidding Me, named after the African country, where she says she just wasn't even thinking about it and how offensive it may come off to an entire culture. But, you know, they ripped her a new one for that. And the documentary is just basically going around getting people's perspective on white privilege and culture and race. There's a couple of things that make the, you know, the hair on the back of your neck stand up. But overall, the documentary wasn't profoundly moving. Like, it's not a documentary where she was speaking up for people of color or how white privilege is a thing and why it needs to be eradicated. But she kind of just gave people a megaphone and she flashed a flashlight on their perspectives. So, you know, I could have done without the documentary, but it's at least good that she recognizes that, you know, she would not be as far in her career if it was not for the color of her skin. Saying things like a lot of her success was handed directly to her because she was a white woman. She didn't have to work so hard for it. But moving on to a woman who has had to work hard for her success. And while a lot of people do not like her, I actually love this person. She is controversial. She has done and said things that she probably should not have. But, you know, Rihanna gets a lot of applause for being a savage. And Miss Wendy Williams, honey, was a fucking savage and still is a savage in her career. She is the queen of all media, with the exception of Oprah Winfrey. You know, Wendy Williams was doing it back in the day on her radio show. I used to listen in my aunt's apartment. She has some iconic radio interviews, and the success of her show speaks for itself. I watched the Wendy Williams show. I've attended it. My friend works on the show. It's a great show, I think. Is it a little messy? Yes, but it's an easy show. You know, it makes you laugh. It's lighthearted. It's a fun, vibrant, bright set. You know, she's not as messy as she used to be, but ever since she's left her no-good-ass husband, she's back to, like, the old Wendy. Not the old messy Wendy, the funny Wendy that you would want to take to brunch. So she's back to her old self, and she looks better than ever. She has her wits back. You know, she's not walking lopsided and look like she's about to faint at any minute. She's back to doing her own thing, you know. I remember watching her in her six-week run. I think it was on Fox TV years ago to see if she would get picked up for a season. And, you know, she's come a long way from her radio in that six-week peak run. She used to wear the most raunchy dresses in that six-week run. I mean, she basically looked like a whore in Vegas. These strapless nightclub dresses with her big-ass triple Ds falling out of the dress. But, you know, she's had to change that up for the success and longevity of the show. And I think she looks amazing now. And, you know, shout-outs to Wendy Williams. I always, always support Wendy Williams. What else is going on? What's going on with that motherfucking gag order, in the words of Kaya, who can't pay her Metro PCS phone bill? That was cute. Embarrassing, but, you know, it was cute. Oh, gonna piggyback on that Housewives topic. Real Housewives of New York, they're currently filming, as we all know. Bethany is no longer part of the show. I think it was time for her to move on, honestly. She has that cute little, you know, white man she's dating. Her daughter's older now. She has her money. She has her success. She has this huge Be Strong philanthropy organization that she runs that gives relief and aid to places that are hit by disastrous life events. I think her most recent one was the hurricane that hit the Bahamas. So she's no longer filming. But I was at Sonia Morgan's fashion show during Fashion Week, was just a couple of weeks ago. My friend Kelly and I, hey girl, hey Kelly. We were at the show. Kelly made it for the show. I was a little late. I run on real colored people time. So I was really fucking late. You know where you say you're 5 minutes away, but you're really about a good 45 minutes away? That's me. So always lie to me. If you have plans, just lie to me and tell me the thing is 30 minutes early than what it's gonna be. I'm gonna still show up late, but not as late. But anyway, we were at her event, so I made it for the after party. The after party was good. It was a lot of people there. Open bar, drinks were flowing. The Housewives were there. Dorinda, who I love. Tinsley Mortimer, who I like as well. Ramona, who looks fucking amazing for her age. Plastic surgery or not, we all know she has plastic surgery, but she looks incredible. Sonia was obviously there. I feel like there was one more, but I can't remember. Anyway, they were filming for it, so they're currently filming. Not sure when the show will debut, but they're currently filming for the show. Interestingly enough, I wanted to meet Dorinda because I do really like her. So we asked Kelly and I, we asked John, her boyfriend, to introduce us. We were talking with John. He's a pleasant guy. A little oily, a little, you know, sleazy, but harmless. So we asked her, we asked John to introduce us to Dorinda. And at this point, like, the event was kind of ending. People were starting to leave. Everyone at least had 3 to 4 drinks in them. And Dorinda looked like, you know, she was 2 sheets to the wind. She looked like she was done and ready to go. So we asked John to introduce us. He was like, sure, I'll introduce you right now. He starts to walk us over. He leads and he whispers, I think, like, hey, I have some people that want to meet you. And I think he thought that she was going to do it, but she was so done with this situation. She was done with the party. She looked like she was irritated with John. I don't know. You know, he owns that successful high-end dry cleaning business. I don't know. She looked like she was tired of him. He was probably trying to hand out too many 20% off your first time visit coupons to his dry cleaner. I don't know. She looked like she was just tired and embarrassed of him. And she just stormed off. So John was kind enough to take my friends and I out for drinks. Mainly my other female friends. I was the only guy there. The only gay guy. But he was a gentleman. He bought us drinks all night. He said that there were like an after party going on at his house. I don't know how true that after party was, but pretty sure he didn't want me there. But either way, he was a gentleman and he bought us drinks all night, and it was a good time. Sonia looked gorgeous. She's definitely a MILF. You know, not a MILF that I'd want to fuck. I don't want to fuck any MILF. I don't want to fuck anyone's mother, but I don't want to fuck any female. But if I was into that, She's gorgeous. You know, she's had good work done. She's voluptuous in the perfect way. Ass is right. Titties sit in. She's fun. She's the life of the party. Now, while some people were saying her show was absolute and utter garbage, and the only type of people that would appreciate it are, you know, the likes of Stevie Wonder, people who can't see, the after party was fun. It was cute. So shout outs to Sonia Morgan for trying to do something and put a show together and hosting a party during Fashion Week. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal lady. And I'd love to have brunch with her. I think she's fun. Speaking of women doing things, Variety is honoring a few women for their philanthropic efforts. But, you know, I think their careers are something to honor in itself. They are honoring a few women at this luncheon. Mariah Carey, Chaka Khan, Jennifer Aniston, Brie Larson, Awkwafina, and Dana Walden. They have all worked with not only donating money, but their personal time to a few organizations. A lot of them empower women, and a lot of the organizations just do good, obviously. Hopefully, it's a philanthropy kind of organization. They are doing good and not just taking people's money. But yeah, I think this was just worth mentioning because I do love Mariah Carey and Chaka Khan. I do like Jennifer Aniston a lot. So I think that's good. You know, I think you give people their flowers while they're still alive. So shout out to all of those women. JVN from the Fab Five. Not the Fab Five. What is that show? It's on Netflix, I think. I forget the show. But either way, he just came out about Queer Eye is the show. Sorry, guys. JVN from Queer Eye just came out saying he's living with HIV. He's opening up about his past as a sex worker, being homeless. I think anyone that can show that type of vulnerability, shout outs, I applaud you guys. He is obviously an openly gay man. He's on that show, Queer Eye, and I think it's great that he thinks his story can lend itself to someone who is going through the same things as he is. You know, I have a lot of friends, especially back in LA, that are HIV positive. They're undetectable. I think people need to educate themselves on this topic. There are people like Magic Johnson who can live a healthy lifestyle, a healthy and happy lifestyle with the disease. There's medicine to level out those HIV levels, and it gets you to a status of undetectable where you can't give the disease to anyone. So he's come out. I think he did an article about his experience with that. I also have had friends who are sex workers. You know, I just think you shouldn't judge people. You know, people do what they have to do. They don't do it because they want to do it. They do it because they have to do it when you're in certain situations like that, in certain circumstances. He's, again, as I said, very brave for coming out with this story. And I support not only people in the LGBT community, but people who are living with that disease and who've had to do sex work to make ends meet. And, yeah, sending my love to him, and shout outs to JVN. I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm a huge tennis fan. Love, love, love tennis. My late end of August was all about getting my book ready and watching the US Open. Naomi Osaka just won her, I think, third title. I think it was a tournament in Japan, in Osaka. So shout outs to Naomi. I'm still rooting for Serena to get her 24th Grand Slam. So let's just send positive vibes out to Serena that come time for the Grand Slams to come back, she's ready. You know, she's always going to make it to the finals, as her coach said, because she's Serena Williams. But just because she make it to the final doesn't mean she was ready for the finals. So shout outs to her. I need to get back in some tennis lessons. It's something I really enjoy doing. Anyway, if anyone wants to fund that, you know, just slide in my DMs. Getting into some ratchet shit. Love and Hip Hop LA. Jesus Christ. I haven't been watching it. I watched a few episodes over the last few days. It is just a fucking mess. The show is a mess. You know, Mona Scott is just producing messy TV, but you know, it works. People are viewing in. And yeah, you know, if I was offered a position on the show, don't get me wrong, I'm gonna do it. I would watch. But I don't think I'm gonna make a fool of myself. You know, they got these young people just looking a mess. And I don't know if I could do it. But, yeah. There's no one on the show that I really like besides Fizz, who was in that group B2K from back in the day. And he's probably one of the only ones that has an actual resume. I mean, Kay Michelle's on it, but she just looks like a cartoon character. No one's really checking for that. But Little Fizz, you know, they were on tour for that B2K tour they did with a few other artists. I don't know. I can't really support B2K's music anymore because I think a lot of the music was written by R. Kelly, and he, you know, he's just canceled, which I hate because there were so many R. Kelly songs that I loved, but I can't listen to that anymore. They have clowns on a show, this woman named Apple, and then this dumb bitch named Brittany B. They just look a mess. They sound a mess. They're dumb. I don't know what else to say besides they got to come stronger next season, Love and Hip Hop Los Angeles. Tekashi 6ix9ine, who's just literally snitching on everybody and their goddamn mama. I'm sure you guys have seen the memes. You know, this is just why you shouldn't play the role of a thug unless you're really a thug. And even if you are a thug, don't be a thug. That shit's not cute. We're damn near in 2020. Why do you still want that street, gang, violent, drug lifestyle? You know, I think in the day of social media, where everyone's getting it and trying to get it, and it's a little bit more accessible to get it, why resort to things like that? Now he's snitching for his life. And I just feel bad for the kid because you're not going to be safe in jail. You're not going to be safe on the streets. You're damn sure not going to be safe in witness protection. Got these tattoos all over your face. You got rainbow colored hair. Ain't no one going to be able to disguise you. The best makeup artist, Pat McGrath, can't even disguise your ass. So I don't know. He's implicated so many people. He called Jim Jones a retired rapper. Said he was a member of their gang, of their Bloods gang. He said Cardi was. You know, it's just a fucking a mess. Interesting list I came across the other day on the internet. 50 things that are going away because millennials aren't using them. The only thing that really stuck out to me was mayo, you know, like mayonnaise. They said that's going out because millennials aren't using them. I don't know who wrote this list, but I use mayo literally every goddamn day. It's probably why I can't get my BMI less than 15%, but I still like mayo. I don't know which millennials they're talking about, but it couldn't have been this one. Interesting list. Couple of funny things that I saw on it. Google it, check it out if you're interested. Yeah. What else is going on, guys? On my way to the gym today, literally today, I saw a guy that I had hooked up with a few times. And you know, I don't ask a lot of questions. Now, everyone who knows me knows I could be a little bit of a hoe. You know, I do meet guys off a Grindr, I meet them at the gym, I meet them in public, I meet them at bars, whatever. I'm not in a relationship, so you know, if I got an itch, I'm gonna find a way to scratch it. Now, this guy that I met actually in a bodega here in the city, thought he was straight, and he approached me, and he kind of whispered something to me, and I was like, what? And he was like, I think you're really cute, blah, blah, blah. He asked me where I live. I was like, I actually live on this block. You know, I'm just picking up some Snapple and some ground turkey. What do you want, kid? He was like, can we talk? I was like, sure. He was like, I'll meet you outside when you're done. Long story short, he comes to my apartment. Whatever. I'm not going to get into details. We were naked. We showered. Things happen. Adult things. He asked to exchange numbers. And we had a very brief text conversation the next day. He told me he was single. He told me he was gay, but he's discreet. Never said he was bisexual. Never said, you know, he was on the down low or anything like that. Told me he was gay, but just discreet. Anyway, I see this motherfucker jogging with a girl, a white girl. And they're at a red light, and they give each other a little peck. And it dawned on me, this motherfucker is not gay and discreet, but on the down low with a whole ass white girlfriend. And I'm just like, I can't participate in this. So I blocked his number because I don't even want him texting me. I don't want to bring it up. I just don't want to contribute to that. You know, I don't want this white woman, you know, macing me, you know, trying to shock me with a stun gun or anything like that. I don't need any part in that. Now, have I slept with men that dated women? I did. I'm not going to lie. But turning 30 next year, I don't want to participate in that. I have slept with married men. I have slept with people dating girls. And that was mainly in my mid-20s when I was a little bit more sloppy. Those days, I used to say I was a marriage counselor. You know, the Metro North is right near me. It takes you to Connecticut and a few other states. A lot of people commute to the city for work. And a lot of guys would stop at my apartment. And, you know, we'd have a glass of wine and do things, whatever. And, you know, I used to just joke about it with my friends that at least they won't be going home so tense and, you know, they won't get into a fight with their wives. You know, they'll be nicer to their kids. But I have since stopped doing stuff like that, you know, as I got older and got a conscience. And I don't want to contribute to things like that anymore. So I blocked the guy's number. He didn't see me. I saw him. So, yeah, that's that. I don't want to be that guy anymore. I had Tinder. My friends are telling me I need to download Hinge. I don't know if I want to create another dating profile. It's a little, for some reason, I find it demeaning. I'd rather meet my guys in a bar so I can, you know, see what you dress like, see how tall you are, do your breath stink or is it fresh? You know, I want to see if you're socially awkward or not. I like to, you know, see my guy in person, but maybe we'll see what this Hinge is looking like. I tried to get on Raya twice now, got denied, so I guess I'm not that poppin', I'm not that exclusive. Yeah, we'll see what the dating life goes like. I feel like I'm gonna be blocking a lot of people with this dating life. I don't know. Oh my god, how could I not even shout him out? Congratulations to the super cute Jarrell Jerome, who won his first Emmy for lead actor. And at the Emmys this past Sunday for When They See Us, Ava's documentary about the Central Park Five, the Exonerated Five, as we like to say now. Let me take a sip of this wine. Hold on. But I watched it when it first came out, and then I rewatched it after the Emmys. I feel like they were snubbed a little bit, but I'm at least happy that Jarrell won for his outstanding performance, you know. His episode, I think there were 5 episodes. His episode in the limited series was the longest, and I think I cried maybe 3 times. You know, I never used to be a crier, but I'm like a crier these days. I don't know. It was a phenomenal performance, and it warmed my heart to see my queen, Miss Angela Bassett, present the award to Jarrell. That was an amazing, amazing moment at the Emmys, and I'm sure it's going to be a moment he remembers for years to come. At the Emmys, the Kardashians, Kim Kardashian and Kendall, presented as well. And they said something like, I think they presented for like best reality series or something like that. They weren't nominated, but obviously their show is super successful globally. And so they said something like, now our family knows a thing or two about being your authentic selves in front of the cameras, and the audience like mocked them. They were laughing hysterically. I'm just like, are we still doing that with the Kardashians? Because I don't hate them. I really don't. I'm being honest. I don't hate them. At this point, I respect their hustle. I respect their entrepreneurial endeavors. And you gotta respect Kris fucking Jenner. I mean, she needs to be studied in business schools. She's phenomenal at what she does. And sure, there's privilege thrown in there. They have a huge platform, so They're using it to their advantage. And as Kris Jenner says, as she said to Cardi B, people are going to talk shit about you, but as long as you're making money, who gives a shit? I agree about 70% with that. I don't think money is, you know, the reason behind everything we should do. But listen, we all chasing the bag, you know? Some days I feel like my bag, though, ran track because that bitch be outrunning me a lot. I don't know. It's getting harder and harder. You know what, guys? I think I'm gonna call it quits here. I had fun with you all. I do have to get to the gym. So, you know, because before I start recording these live podcast episodes for YouTube, I need to get a little bit more snatched. Maybe I need to start drinking some White Claws then instead of this full body Cabernet Sauvignon. It's all I had today. You know, Pinot Grigio, as I said, is what I typically like to drink. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening. This was really fun. I had fun doing this. I'm looking forward to the next episode. I'm probably going to release these once a week, but we'll see what's going on. DM me once you've listened. Let me know what you think, if there's any topics you'd like to discuss. If you want to ask me a question, DM. And just so you know, this isn't the wine. I do have a slight lisp, so, you know, deal with it. You know, it works for me in other areas, if you catch my drift, wink, wink. And if you hear sirens, you know, just take it. It's a ghetto-ass podcast episode. I am in my apartment in New York City, and I'm close to the ground floor. So, yeah, you might hear a fucking siren here or there. Just deal with it. Act like it never happened. But yeah, that's it for today's episode, guys. I hope you come back. Check me out on Instagram, read up on it. A lot of funny, ignorant shit on there. And, yeah, there's this funny page that I just came across, Ghetto Snapple Facts. That's Ghetto _ Snapple _ Facts. Funny little page. Yeah, guys, hit me up. Let me know what you think. I hope you have a great day, and... yeah, fuck off. Later. Bye.